بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد، يا ايها الذين امنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران الكريم، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، امن الرسول بما انزل اليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل امن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين احد من رسله. الحمد لله. Brothers and sisters, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we trust in Him and we believe in Him. And we bear witness that there is nothing or no one worthy of worship besides Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and His servant. We bear witness that whomever Allah guides is guided aright. And yet whomever Allah leaves to err, no one can guide them aright. No one. If Allah has blinded them, no one can guide them aright. If Allah has blinded them, there is no one that can guide them aright. Their eyes are open, but they can't see. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and his family and the Muslims everywhere. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, I want to take today's khutbah as a forum to introduce to you one of the great prophets of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Musa. And I felt compelled today to preach a sermon about this great prophet, Moses. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. As you know, I have often spoken about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, every week I speak about him. Every week. I can't stop speaking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you notice, over the last few years, I've spoken more about Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus. But for the first time, today I will be talking about Prophet Musa, Prophet Moses, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I just want to use today's topic as an excuse to teach lessons. Lessons from the life of Prophet Moses. I want you to go back, when you get a chance, to read the fourth book of Al-Bukhari in the section Kitabul Anbiya and the section called The Prophets. I have read every hadith in that section. Every time the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a prophet, from Adam to Noah to Dawood to Suleiman to Jesus, every prophet, Jonah, every one of them, I noticed every hadith the prophet said, every word that he said about every prophet. I noticed and read them over and over again. Why? أَمَنَ رَسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ قُلُوا أَمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And the messenger believes in what his Lord has revealed from him to him. And so do the believers. Each one of them believes in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. وَلَا نُفَرِّقُ الْبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ. And we make no distinction between his prophets. And today I want to speak about Prophet Musa, Prophet Moses. I was telling Brother Naeem the other day that I went to University of UCLA and I gave the Muslims their test. And when I went to Toronto, University of Toronto, I gave the Muslims the same test. And the test that I gave them is found in the section called the Prophets. I wonder how you would do if I would give you the same test. Brothers and sisters, we must study. We must learn this religion. I looked at the students and told them, and I tell you the same thing, that every one of you, when you were born, every one of you was touched by Shaitan. And when it touched you and I, we cried. And the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said, every human being, every child of Adam, every one of them was touched by Shaitan at their birth except two people. And I asked the students, who are the two people that was accepted that Shaitan never touched them at birth? And they raised their hand and they began to speculate. They said, this one and that one. But there's only two people. How do I know it? How do we know it? Because the Prophet said it. And the only two people never touched by Shaitan at their birth is Isa, Jesus, and his mother Mary. You should know that. Why? Because the Prophet said it. Why he say it? Because it's true. And there's wisdom in it. Men akram an-nas, O Prophet, who is the most honorable of people? The Prophet could have said, Ana, me. But he didn't say Anna. He said Yusuf, Nabiullah, Ibn Nabiullah, Ibn Nabiullah, Ibn Khalilullah. The most honorable of mankind is Prophet Yusuf. A prophet and the son of a prophet. And the grandson of a prophet. And the great grandson of a prophet. Friend of Allah, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Yusuf, the son of his father, Yaqub, Jacob, a prophet, the son of his father, Ishaq, also a prophet, and his father, Ibrahim, also a prophet, and the most honorable person on the earth, the Prophet said, Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salat wa salam. I was testing them to see how much of they know of the religion. Are you salat ahabu illallah? What prayer is most loved by Allah? Salatu Dawood. The prayer of blessed Prophet Dawood. Are you siyam ahabu illallah? What fast is most loved by Allah? Siyamu Dawood. The fast of David. You must know about your prophet. تِلْكُ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. And these are the prophets. These are the prophets, Allah said in Quran, and we have made some of them above others. And one of them, Allah spoke directly. One of them, منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات. I read a book by a Jewish rabbi. And in that book, he said Prophet Moses was the greatest man ever. This is the Jewish theology. They believe that Prophet Musa, alayhi salat wa salam, is the greatest man ever. Why? Because he was given a distinction that the other prophets weren't given. And according to what they say from their Torah, they said that God spoke to Moses directly as a man speaketh unto his neighbor, face to face. Now, brothers and sisters, let me give you the context of our discussion today and why I mentioned that. When you get a chance, read volume number 4 of Al-Bukhari Hadith, again, Anbiya, the Prophet. In it, one hadith begins like this. استبى رجل من المسلمين ورجل من اليهود. A Jewish man and a Muslim argued. What were they arguing about? The Jewish man was given superiority of Moses over everybody. And the Muslim was given superiority of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over everybody. So they were arguing. And in the process of arguing, the Muslim slapped the Jew in the face. Now, brothers and sisters, I've mentioned this hadith before, but it's so replete with wisdom that you're going to forever be reading the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're going to always find new unfolding of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. The lesson that we learn is that arguments often lead to fighting, and fighting sometimes leads to murder. Usually, a fight begins with an argument. Look how many brothers in prison because they murdered somebody or they assaulted somebody because it began with an argument. And while they were arguing, they didn't plan to kill, but they got heated. And in the heat, the argument turned to a fight, and then the fight turned to murder. You go in prison and find how many brothers in prison because of that reason. You know what we have in this country right now is something called road rage. Road rage. You know what road rage is? You're driving your car. Somebody cuts you off. And you get an attitude. Why you cut me off? And then once in a while, somebody stopped their car. Now they're going to call your bluff. Don't get out the car now. You tough? Now here I am. I didn't mean that. You had a case where somebody was at a toll booth. He couldn't find change. And he's looking for money to put in the toll booth, and the people behind him blowing the horn. They can't take it. He says something to them. They start arguing, and they blow the man away. They kill him right at the toll booth. Now that man probably on his way to work somewhere or on the way home, and he gets into an argument and get blown away. That's the way it is right now. People have so much locked up energy and anger that all it takes is one word. How many divorces began with an argument? Husband and wife arguing. And then the argument accelerates. And next thing, before you know it, divorce. Why? It began with an argument. Now, brothers and sisters, the reason I mention this, I want to go back to something that I said last week. And I want to clarify something because I don't want you to get in trouble. I mentioned last week that the men have to be protective of the women, of our women. And we don't want the non-Muslims touching our women. We don't want them even talking to them. No, no, look at them. Well, maybe I exaggerated a little bit. I don't mean to say that they can never look at our women, because if you're in America, even if you're in Mecca, somebody's going to look. So I don't mean for you now to take that as a signal that any time a non-Muslim look at our women, we should go beat them up. I certainly didn't mean that. You have to use your discretion. If a person says something, you should examine now. Is this guy okay? We had a case of a, you know, there's a woman around here, most of you know her. She's Majnun, and everybody know that. She walk up and down the street, she's Majnun, and she asks people for sadaqa. Can I get a quarter? Some of you know her. Sometimes she's down the street, she yells, but obviously she has a problem. And I was shocked, a number of Muslims came to me and said, Imam Siraj, one of our sisters, that woman came and asked for some money, and one of the sisters said, no, get out my face. And our sister started arguing with her, ready, she's going to fight her in front of the masjid. Now, sister, you got to examine the situation. She don't deserve to be beaten up. Our sister, she's crazy. So even the Prophet, the Lady Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said the pen is lifted in three cases. So if a person is Majnoon, if they're crazy, then you don't treat a crazy person like you treat a sane person. Don't you know that? So now, brother, you got to examine now if somebody says something to your wife. What did they say? Who said it? What was the condition? Now, just because they said something, I don't want you brothers to go beat the man down. I'm not teaching you that. But we're so intolerant, what I'm saying, I want our women protected. And you have to make a distinction between a harmless word that comes out of somebody's mouth and something of danger, where we're in danger, your wife is in danger, and you have to assess it. You have to look at the situation and make sure that you do the right thing. I don't mind going to prison, wallahi. I don't mind going to prison for Allah. But I want to make sure that when you make a move that is for Allah and not for your nafs. Because some of you are so sick. You are time bomb waiting to explode. And you are so sick, and now you want to use the name of Islam to cover and disguise your sickness. One of the things I want to do, brothers and sisters, is to get rid of the contradictions in our own lives. What do I mean by that? You know, around the city recently and around the country, there's been a lot of police brutality. Police killing black people and Hispanic people. You know that. But all the, this is called police brutality, when they go beyond the boundaries and they abuse their authority. Abuse of authority. None of all of these white policemen who have killed black people and people of color in this city and around the country, as much as it has taken place, it in no way compares how we brutalize ourselves. No way. So when you look at abuse of power, there's more abuse right in the family. Now this is what I mean. You're walking down the street with your wife, and someone says something to her. Maybe a compliment. Now you go beat the man up, even if he says something wrong or negative to your wife. You go beat him down. Yeah, I took care of that chap. But now you're the same brother who, when you get home, you beat on your same wife that you're supposed to be protecting. That's a contradiction. So why did you beat the man? Did you beat the man up for Allah, or did you beat him up for yourself because you want to show you're a tough guy now? And all I say, brothers and sisters, examine your motives and ask yourself, why am I doing this? If I'm doing this for Allah, then good. If I'm beating him up for Allah, then good. If I'm not hitting him for Allah, that's good. Some people hide behind their cowardice. No, brother, we have to be peaceful. Yo, brother, Islam is peace. Peace, brother. They can piss all over your wife and stomp her. He said, no, I'm going to be tolerant. No, there's no such thing as tolerance there. Go to blows with them. If you have to die, let them kill you in the street, but fight back and defend your wife and your family. Fight back. It's clear there. He's attacking your wife. No, you fight like a man, and you die like a man. Die. If you have to get shot down in the street, you die defending your family. You die defending your wife. But now you have to judge now. You have to make a judgment. What am I doing this for? Am I doing it for Allah? Examine your own heart and get rid of the contradictions in our own lives. So this Muslim slapped the Jew in the face. Now, first of all, brothers and sisters, fathers, I'm telling you, you got to be careful. You know, in this city in which we live, in this country, a lot of children are smart. They know if you hit them, they pick up the phone. They let you know, you hit me, man. You hit me, Dad, I'll call the cops on you. And they'll come and arrest you. You have a lot of cases of fathers going to jail for abusing their children. Islam doesn't teach you to abuse your children, but Islam teaches you to beat your children when it's necessary. And don't you be afraid to beat your children if they need it, but don't hit them in the face. See, Dad? If you're angry at your son, you can't hit him in the face because it's against the hudud. This is against the boundaries of Allah. So you have to hit him in the right place because the face is a face of your honor. Your honor is in your face. And this is why these brothers who box, brother, you got to be careful how you box somebody and punch him in the face. It's haram. So if you want to box, you got to punch him in the body. Can you do that?
Yeah, brother, I'm a Muslim. I can only punch you in the body.
Right. Right. Two in the ring. Just punch him in the body. Right. So now you have to think now. This, you know why? You notice about the face? Whenever somebody's arrested, what they cover? You don't cover your butt. You cover your face. And when you go to the precinct, you see most wanted, you see a picture of the face. The face is what's happening. The photographer want to get the face. Because the face identifies you. You're identified by the face. And this is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you shouldn't beg. He said, don't beg. And so your face will be dishonored on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Your face. Because your face is that of honor. You have a unique face. That's your face. This is your face. That's your face. That's your face. Everyone have their own unique face. And your honor is in the face. So you don't slap nobody in the face. In fact, when somebody slaps somebody in the face, they don't necessarily mean to hurt them sometimes. But it means to degrade them. You know, in the old days, they take a glove and slap you in the face. You know what that means? That's a duel. Duel to death. That's what it means. Now, you take a glove and slap somebody in the face, you're not trying to hurt them. You're trying to humiliate them. And so in the old days, when you do that, that's a fight. My brothers and sisters, I just want to conclude by saying, this Jew was called a Dhammi. You know what Dhammi is? When the Muslims were in power, they had Jews and Christians living under them, their authority. And the Muslims were supposed to protect them. So the Jew came complaining to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, I'm under your protection. Why did this man slap me? And the Prophet asked him, why you slap him in the face? And then he explained, the Muslim explained, and then ghadaba Rasulullah, the Prophet became so angry that the anger was shown in his face. And then this is what he said. And listen to this, brothers and sisters, then I finish. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, a horn will be blown. And everything in the heavens and earth will become unconscious, the Prophet said. Except whom Allah exempts. And then the horn will be blown a second time. And he said, I will be the first one to wake up from consciousness, into consciousness. And when I wake up from being unconscious, I will see Moses already awoke. holding on to the throne of Allah. Moses, unconscious before Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should say why? Why? Why was Moses unconscious before Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why? Oh, brothers and sisters, to know about the Prophet is to know about Allah. If you want to know about Allah, study the Prophet. You remember the Quran when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mauta? Oh my Lord, show me, how does thou give life to the dead? Did you know Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said something very similar? Rabbi arini andur ilayka? Oh Allah, show me yourself, so that I can see you. Moses wanted to see Allah. Moses, it's in the Quran. Moses wanted to see Allah. Moses wanted to see Allah, show me yourself. Why? He said, ask the question, why? It is beautiful, akhi. Brothers, when you study this deen is beautiful. You know why? Because you can't blame Moses. Hear Allah speaking to him directly. This favor wasn't bestowed upon any other prophet. So Allah is speaking to Moses directly. Now God, I mean, good God, the Lord of the world is speaking to you directly, not from behind the hijab, not from Yuhyi, not from an angel coming, but directly, according to Quran, many places in Quran, Allah only mentions Allah speaking directly to only Moses. Now Moses wants to speak to God, and Allah says, you can't see me. You can't see me. Oh, sisters, don't you understand? Allah is hidden behind a veil. He's hidden behind hijab. He's the most beautiful, but yet nobody can see him. He's hidden until the time comes when he exposes himself. Oh, man. No sister should be ashamed to cover herself from the stares of men. A woman who covers herself, nobody can see her but her husband and her family. You can't see me. All these drunk men in the street, all these bums in the street. And when she goes out, she's covered completely. And by the way, if you study Prophet Moses, alayhi salat wa salam, you will see he was very shy. He would cover his whole self up because he was extremely shy. You can't see me unless you look to the mountain. And if the mountain stands in its place, then you see me. So Allah manifested a little bit of his glory, just a little touch of his glory on the mountain. And then the mountain fell down like powder. And then when Moses saw the mountain fall down like powder, then Moses fell down on his face, fell in a swoon, and became unconscious. Good God, you can't see Allah. Not in this life. In the next life, you'll see him. But you can't do it now. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I wonder if Prophet Moses was exempted from becoming unconscious because he became unconscious that day on Mount Sinai and when he fell down in an unconsciousness. So I would wonder whether Allah exempted him or Allah merely woke up Musa before me, alayhi salatu wasalam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to conclude this khutbah. Really, I just wanted to give you a taste of Prophet Moses and to realize that Prophet Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam, was very special. And we as Muslims owe a debt of gratitude to Prophet Moses. We do. We do. You know, as you remember, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam received the order from Allah to make 50 salats, and it was no one but Moses to tell the Prophet, go back to your Lord and ask him to reduce the prayer because 50 was too much for his ummah. It was Moses who did that. And every time the prophet came down, the law reduced it. Now think about it. Moses didn't have to do that. He was wise and he was experienced. He dealt with some very rebellious people. But he knows 50 prayers too much. So he said, go back, ask your Lord to reduce it. Because your ummah can't do that. They can't do 50. So Allah kept reducing it until finally Allah reduced the fine. 5 prayers a day, what we have today. And guess what? Moses said, go back and ask your Lord to reduce it. So your ummah still can't do 5. And guess what? He was right. For many can't even do 5. 5 a day. Go back and tell your Lord to reduce. 5 is too many. The prophet was too embarrassed to go back to Allah after that. It was Moses who told him to go back. And finally I close with this. You know, brothers and sisters, one day the Jews were living among the Muslims. You know, and in fact this hadith is beautiful because what it shows is that they were allowed to trade among the Muslims and they can go about their business among the Muslims. Muslims didn't bother them. This man who was slapped by the Muslims, he was a man who was doing business. He was doing business. That's why he got angry. And then he made this oath that Moses is better than all the other human beings. He was doing business among the Muslims. So Muslims can have Jews and Christians working among us, living in our Islamic state, and they can have their freedom, but they're then me. They don't have the same obligation as the Muslims have. We have to fight jihad fi sabilillah. They don't have to do that. We protect them under our care, under our trust. So the Christians and Jews under our trust have to be protected under our trust. Yeah, sure. And one day the prophet saw them fasting. He said, why is this you fasting? It was the 10th of Muharram. Why are you fasting? They said, because this is a great day. This is the day that God liberated Moses and the children of Israel from Pharaoh. They drowned Pharaoh and saved Moses and the children of Israel. You know what the prophet says? Ana awla bi Musa minhum. I'm closer to Moses than them. I'm closer to Moses than the Jews. I'm closer to Moses than the Jews. I'm closer to Moses than the Jews. Therefore, he started fasting the same day and ordered his companions to fast also. And that's why we fast the 10th of Muharram. Because the prophet wanted to show honor and thanks. And the Jews said that Moses fasted to show thanks to Allah. Shukran lillah. Now, brothers and sisters, I come to a conclusion of my message. All of this is a setup for what I really want to say. Now I'm going to tell you what I really want to say. Brothers, I want you to go home and tell your children especially, all you got children, you tell your children, you be careful, don't you follow the masters of the people. Never, ever, ever, ever follow the masses of the people. Tell your young daughters and your young boys never to follow the masses of the people. Why? Listen to the words of the Quran. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of the people don't believe. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Most of the people, the majority of the people, are not thankful to Allah. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of the people don't understand. So if you're foolish enough to want to be like everybody else, you want to follow the crowd, you want to be like the people in your school, you want to be like the people in the street, then you keep on. You keep on. Allah is going to have something for you. I close with these words. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Adam to take out the people that's going to go to the hellfire. You know, Adam said, how many should I take out for the hellfire? And I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to tell this to your children. How many? How many go out to hellfire? How many? Min kulli alfin. Every 1,000 min kulli alfin, 900 999 go to hell and one go to Jannah. I want you to listen to me and listen to me carefully. Out of every 1,000 people, min kulli alfin, tis'imiyatin, watis'atin, watis'in, 999 will go to hellfire. 999 will go to hellfire. 999 will go to hellfire, and one will go to paradise. Out of every 1,000, 999 will go to hell. One will go to paradise. Every 1,000, 999 will go to hellfire. One will go to paradise. Out of every 1,000, 999 will go to hell. 999 will go to hell. 999 will go to hell. And one will go to Jannah. You want to follow the crowd? You want to be like everybody else? You want to take off your holy garment? You want to take off that long dress and put on a short dress to show your legs? You want to take off your scarf and show your hair? Then hey, be like everybody else. You want to go and drink beer like everybody else? Go ahead. You want to go take crack like everybody else? Go ahead. You want to drink alcohol like everybody else? Go ahead. Every 999 go to hell, one go to Jannah. You know when the prophet said that? His companions took it real hard. Who could be that one to go to Jannah out of every 1,000? And then he said this, وَلَذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدْهِ إِنِّي أَرْجُو أَن تَكُونُ رُبَأَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. I swear by Allah, I hope that you all will be 1/4 of the people of paradise. فَكَبَرْنَا. They said, Allahu Akbar. Then he said, وَلَذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدْهِ أَرْجُو أَن تَقُونُ ثُلُثَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. I hope that you would be 1/3 of the people of paradise. For every 3 people in paradise, I hope you be one of them. فَكَبَرْنَا. We said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he said, وَلَذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدْهِ أَرْجُو أَن تَكُونُ نِفْسَ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. I hope that you will be 1/2 of the people of Jannah. But he didn't stop there. He said, let me tell you why. He said, because your example, compared to the example of the 2 of the non-believers, is like a black hair on a white ox, or white hair on a black ox. You know what that means? There's no greater contrast than black and white. When you see this combination of black and white, there is no greater contrast. So the Prophet was given, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a contrast, black and white. And what he was saying is that you all Muslims are different in every way than the other people. Everything you do is different. And this is why Allah bless you. When all these people running around here going to hell, then you running away. When the people out there in the street, you in the masjid. When the people sleep, you are praying. When they're drinking haram, you're eating halal. When they're committing fornication and adultery, you're getting married. And if you're not married, you're fasting. You're abstaining. I don't care what they do, you're going to be different. When they're getting all this haram income, you're getting only the halal. Here's a brother, he don't make much money. He drive a cab 12, 14 hours. 15 hours. Why are you driving a cab so long to eke out a living, to take care of his family? Halal money. Sometimes I'm on the train and I see the brothers late at night, got the incense, walking in the subway, proud, got their incense, got their oils on the subway station, selling the oils and incense. They're not making a whole lot of money, But it's halal. It's halal. It's halal. Brother, get a can of paint and paint somebody's house to get some halal money. I saw a brother with a squeegee. Went around to the businesses, said, let me wash your window. Halal money. I respect that. I respect the brother. There's a brother here who every day you see him cleaning the streets. I said, why does brother do this? He could ask every day. He's cleaning the streets. He's sweeping the floor. And I found out that some of the business people pay him money to clean up the place. He created his own job. That's dignity. That's honor. You don't have to steal, brother. Wallahi, you don't have to sell drugs. No, brother, I don't care how much money. You can make a lot of money selling drugs. But the money is haram, and you can go to hell for that. So, brothers and sisters, I say to you, you know what? When you're confident, you don't have to argue and fight with people when you're confident. You know what? When you see people stand in front of them, hey, man, you are telling me, don't talk now. Oh, you ain't doing nothing, man. Because a man, if you're going to do something, just do it. Just do it, man. Stop all that. Just do it. Or I'll have to walk away. And when you train under these brothers, when they teach you martial arts, and you become confident in yourself, you don't have to run your mouth. You just stand there, brother, and you get in your position. If he attacks you, take him out. As long as he don't touch you. And so you're not wasting your breath. You're not wasting your breath, hollering and all that kind of stuff, jumping up and down. Because usually these people, you know, these kind of people, these are the cowards, really. And they're trying to put on a show. They're trying to fight you. Really, they're fighting. And you know what I learned? I learned a lot of times, brothers and sisters, that a person's superiority complex is nothing but a disguise for the inferiority complex. See, they really feel inferior. So they have to hide it and act like they're superior. So one thing you be careful of. These imams, we don't compete with one another. If you love Imam Faraj Wahaj, you love Imam Hamza. You love Imam Abu Muslima. You love Muhammad Said Adli. You love Sheikh Ibrahim. You love Imam Al-Amin Abdul Latif. Because if you love one, you love the other. You don't have to put one above the other. These are my brothers. So now what happened? We're going to run. My Imam is the greatest Imam. He's the Imam for all the world. Everybody is behind under my Imam. My Imam. Oh, brother, you sound old. You're tired, man. That's a tired, old, worn out. God, I can't even think of how silly it is. No, we're all brothers. That's why the prophet said all of the prophets are brothers. Jesus is great. Jesus. And now you imitating the Christians now. Come on, get off it. We know who he is. And I feel blessed to be a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't have to jam him down the throat of people. Let them see the greatness of the magnitude of the man. You don't have to beat him. And look at the Prophet did. He didn't argue with the Jews and say, how dare you say that Moses is better than me. He didn't say that. What he did, he gave preference to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. See? So you got to remember da'wah. And I conclude with this. If a man says something to your wife, try first. Maybe you can give him da'wah. So, sir, let me speak to you for a moment. You said something to my wife. I'm sure you didn't mean that. And you probably meant it something very little, but it's a big offense to us. So I would appreciate it. My wife, she minds her business. She doesn't speak to anybody. She keeps to herself. I would appreciate, don't say anything to my wife. Okay? And we won't have a problem. You know what happened? Ali, one day, was selling out in the street. And he started screaming. Brothers came running. What happened? Somebody stole some stuff from him. And we saw the man running down the street. We had about 7 or 8 brothers. I saw some of them. And they ran after the guy. And they caught him. And they brought him back to me. Now, we could have bust him up. For those who don't speak English, bust means tighten him up. Yeah, we could have tightened him up. Titan means punch him. You could have did it. Oh, man. So they brought him to me. And man, he was scared. Some of you brothers with me. And I said, do you know what you did? He said, yeah, I made a mistake. I said, you sure did. It's not your day, is it? And he's about 26 years old. And I said, do you know who this is? He said, yeah, he's a Muslim. And I said, do you know the punishment for stealing? He said, yeah, get your hand chopped off. I said, that's right. See, people know. They know the Islamic law. Many of them, they know. He said, yeah, get your hand chopped off. And I said, yeah, guess what? I'm taking you inside the masjid. Man, his eyes got big. And I said, I'll tell you what. Rather than cutting off your hand, I'm going to tell you what the punishment is. You have to sit down in this mosque for 10 minutes and let us teach you what Islam is all about. That young man took shahada that day. You see, you can turn something negative to positive. We got him now, and he's under, we got him. See, now some people, you see, brother, some of us are like this. When we by ourselves, we're big cowards. See? When we're by ourselves, we got nothing to say. But when we're around the Muslims, we're gonna get you now. And you real loud now. You tough now. So now that kind of situation is perfect for that kind of brother. Hey, let's get him. Let's punch him. Let's beat him up. Because you with a crowd now. But when you by yourself, you're not like that. So let's get rid of the contradictions. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and forgive us our sins. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to learn and to love all of Allah's prophets. The Allah bless us to believe in all of Allah's prophets and all the books that they brought. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make us to love the Quran, make us to love the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواج محمد وعلى ذريات محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أطعنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إقامة الصلاة